It was almost like I was sitting there.
Yeah. Like, oh, I know. You're looking the other way. Welcome back to our study on Ruth. Thanks for joining the Wannabes today. Shout out to Mountain Home. We had a chance to go do a family retreat out there, and we want to thank Chris Brill and the Mountain Home elders for making that possible. We had a good experience. Nobody drove us out of the retreat center or threw anything at us, so
take that as a win. That was good. Our grandkids got to go and be a part of it, and so thank you, Chris and Shirley, for inviting us out there. It was a lot of fun. So
yes. There's David Lucas already on here. Welcome, David.
Hey, David. How's it going?
Our loyal follower there. Right. I appreciate you jumping in there. And I don't. We may have given a plug for it last time too, but we are going to be content providers for that Truth Digital Media Radio. And I don't know if we mentioned it last podcast or not. Just to put that bug out there, we'll be doing an announcement on Facebook soon. So I thought I'd give you all a heads up as to that. We're sending our episodes that we have over, but it's a church supported, church funded, and church focused radio station that you can listen to for free, and it's called Truth Digital Media. And you can go online. They have a website. It's called Truth Digital Media Radio.
You can
Google
that right now, can't you?
You can Google it right now.
Start listening. So they're going to have the acapella music on there.
Yeah, they've got acapella, praise and harmony.
Podcast on there as well. And it's 24/7.
Yes.
And so a lot of our members at Enola have been starting to ask about you know, things they could listen to. They drive a lot and gone. So
you don't have to only listen to us now. Yeah. You can kind of, we'll be mixed into the show time, the airtime. They have a schedule of their airtime on there, so you can really, if your car connects to your phone or a device that has the ability to connect to the internet, then you can listen to that radio just like your normal stations, and it'll be a little bit of singing, powerful podcast by you know, several people, some marriage and the family ones, some church ones, some ministry ones, and then us, whatever we are, right? You know, the Wannabes will be on there, so we're excited to be a part of that ministry, and we hope you you gain access to it and you check it out. It's just a good option, and so I just wanted to give a plug for that, but there'll be more coming. Stay tuned on our Facebook, and we'll be promoting that and give a link. But we're jumping back into the book of Ruth, and we're bringing things to a close with the book. We've almost made it all the way through the study there. We're in Ruth chapter 4 today.
I mean, this is the kind of book that I would have probably read in grade school or even
high
school.
Short and sweet.
Short, sweet, to the point.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could test over it. It's not going to be that much. So.
And you can skim through it real fast, but I've learned through this study that as long as you want to spend in it, you can spend in it and find stuff. And so just because it's short in length doesn't mean it's short in lessons and application that we found that out just going through it. So we hope that's been a blessing to you too. You've seen it with new eyes, but all it needs now is pictures, right? Just some illustrations, and then you got me, you know, colored pictures. So.
That's exactly right.
So Ruth chapter 4, it picks up, you know, not really a completely different conversation, but jumping back into Boaz trying to do or doing the right thing by Ruth and Naomi, the right thing by the culture, and most importantly, the right thing by his God in establishing this covenant with Ruth. In supporting Naomi, but you see towards the end of Ruth 3, he mentions that there is another kinsman. There's another one called the Redeemer that's family that should have, I hate to say first dibs, but first dibs at joining with Ruth and redeeming her and supporting her in their widowhood. And
yeah,
so,
and I think this is interesting because most of the time, I mean, we have songs out there that Christ is our Redeemer.
Yes.
But most of the time we don't talk about redeeming someone or really what that's all about.
Yeah.
And so when you start reading Ruth, it just starts out where you don't really see God that much. You don't talk about a Redeemer.
Yeah.
You know, these people are trying to save themselves. They're trying to keep the law. They're trying to follow the things. And that's a lot of the Bible as you read through it that, you know, the Jews were trying to keep the old law. They were trying to keep the things that God had given them to do. And then all of a sudden, they need the Savior. They're waiting on that Messiah. They're waiting on the Redeemer. And then I think we see sort of that here in the book of Ruth.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of just a small, condensed version somewhat of people longing to have what God is offering through his son, Jesus Christ. So sort of a, you know, a complete Bible there, you might say.
Yeah, it's the gospel right there.
The gospel right there. And that's so, a good way of putting it.
We pick up with these thoughts in Ruth chapter 4. Jump in there. Verse 1, now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, turn aside, friend, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. And so once again, you look here and Boaz is doing it God's way by going through this process, having the correct parties involved so that nobody can look back and say he didn't abide by the law and abide by the things that were in place in his dealings with either conjoining with Ruth or allowing this other kinsman redeemer to do that. So it says they all sat down. And then verse 3, then he said to the redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. And he said, I will redeem it.
I mean, I don't know when we see this here, but I think about the older men, and they like to gather down at Woolies or down at the country store, and they're going to have a cup of coffee, and they're just sitting around playing Brook, or they're playing dominoes, and you know. But you see this a lot, even when you think about the story of Lot. Lot would sit at the city gates. Many times, many of the elders are the leaders of that community or that town would gather at the city gates.
Yeah.
So here we see Boaz is an important person. And I don't know how Boaz handled this. I mean, when you really want something, but you're hoping that other person doesn't take it, you know, it's
kind of
well, you know, you could have this if you want.
Yeah, it's not worth a whole lot.
It's not worth a whole lot, but, you know, it could be yours if you want it. You know, I don't know if you, hey, man, you've got to take this. This is just the greatest thing next to sliced bread. Am I too old? Does that show my age if I say?
I like sliced bread.
I like sliced bread.
You weren't there when it became a thing, right? Now, that's the difference.
Thank you.
When you first saw sliced bread.
I wasn't there when we had to slice it by hand.
We don't need to carbon date you here. Yeah. Count the rings.
but and then this man comes in, I'll redeem it. I mean, most people, if they're offered something just for free, you know, kind of like.
Yeah, easy pickings. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'll take that.
Oh, I get this land, this parcel of land. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
So that is interesting to note. At first, you're like, okay, Ruth has passed Boaz by. He did it the right way, and he kind of got the short end of the stick, so to speak, and the guy said he'll redeem it. So you're left disheartened. You're like, what? No, this isn't. And so you got to hang in there.
Even in our world, it's kind of that saying, you don't get anything for free.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is true even in the church.
Yeah.
That sometimes we regret that we even got that involved in something. And that may be why some Christians don't really get that involved in things.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of maybe the sacrifice that it's really going to take to see it all the way through.
Yeah.
But they want to be a servant. They want to help. They want to do those things. But sometimes we regret that maybe I got in a little too deep there. Now I can't get out, and those people become dependent upon me. And so they regret that. And so when you see here, beginning in verse 5, then Boaz said, well, you want it.
Yeah, but wait, there's more. Billy Mays here.
There's always more. You know, the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you will also acquire Ruth, the Moabite.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wanted to.
Yeah, he could really, you know, milk that there if he wanted to. Yeah,
But she'll acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said,
this changes things.
Well,
yeah,
I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair what?
My own inheritance.
My own inheritance.
I wonder why that would have impaired his inheritance. What is he worried about there? You hit on it when you said the voice, right?
Yeah.
The Moabite. You know, that's my thought. I don't know if that's the complete.
Had to be something with a woman involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about a woman, right?
Something about a woman there.
Something about a horse or something.
You know, so here he is. Now he's trying to almost be nice to Boaz. Well, I said I would take it, but now this is going to mess with my own inheritance.
I will be cost.
And sometimes I think we find ourselves in, well, that'll affect my family too much.
Oh,
well, that's
going all the
well,
time.
I don't think I have time to do that. Well, I would, but I'd love to get involved in that. But if you knew how crazy busy I was, and I'm like, crazy busy is the new word today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we all are.
Yes.
And so here he said, I can't redeem it. So you take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. And so, and maybe that speaks to us today, that we need to be willing to really invest in the lives of people if we're going to make change and we're going to redeem people. And I think this is what we're going to see. If you think about the symbolism of Jesus compared to Boaz, we're going to see that Jesus, our Redeemer, does the same thing.
Yeah. And so this is, I would think it's good news for Boaz. I mean, he's taking on, he's sacrificing too, by no means. Yeah, he's there. Yeah, score. And you thought, a spit and a handshake was weird, right? That's the Southern way to, finalize a deal, right? Or, kids would like cut their finger or something and seal it in blood or whatever. Okay, I'm weird. I'm from Tennessee, I know. But listen to this. Now, in verse 7, after he says, you go ahead and you redeem it, for I cannot. Verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. Weird. Just weird.
Drew off his sandal.
Of all the items of clothing, that would be the last one I'd want to have to put in my hand.
If you would have taken off your shoe when you asked for my daughter's hand in marriage and given it to me.
Yeah, that might have changed your answer, wouldn't it? You get a lot more questions than resolution. Boaz, in verse 9, after this agreement, after this transaction is confirmed, because that's what that does there, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, because they're gathered there too.
Yeah.
He did it the correct way. He says, you all are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also, Ruth, the Moabite, right? The widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day. And this is where, why read the book of Ruth? This is it, right? This is redemption. That's exactly what Jesus has done for us. We talked about right before we went on air about how the Redeemer, the first in line Redeemer that neglects that offer, he didn't want the baggage that came with the offer once he found out. And I mean, think about your baggage, listeners. I think about my baggage. When Christ sacrificed for us, it wasn't our best. He sacrificed for our skeletons in the closet, all the baggage of the decisions we made, the relationships we've screwed up. And there's a lot of baggage in today's world with families. And so not many people, if anybody, would be willing to do what a Boaz, much less a Jesus, does for us.
Well, and that must be true somewhat. We don't want it to be true in the church. I pray that, I know at Enola, we try not to be judgmental. We try to take you where you are at and bring you into our midst. We recognize that we're all sinners, but there must be some truth to that. When you talk to people outside the church, when you talk to people in your community, when you talk to people out in the world, oh, I could never fit in at church. If you knew what I had done, and all them people up there, they know what I've been doing. They won't accept me. They don't accept me out here, and they're not going to sure accept me in their church building.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think sometimes outsiders view themselves that way, and to know that Ruth was a Moabite, that Ruth came, but she had changed. She was desiring something different, and Boaz was going to take her baggage and all. And Jesus Christ is what he did. He died for us while we were still sinners.
Yeah.
Christ died for us, as Paul would tell the church at Rome.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a beautiful story, that we don't have to get our life right and then we'll start going to church. I hear that many times, where I'm just trying to get things figured out. Once I get my life right, once I'm the kind of person that Jesus could accept, then I'll go back. And I'm like, Satan won't let you do that.
Yeah.
Satan won't let that happen. When you get into a marriage, it's for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, sickness and in health. And if you look at the divorce rate in America, we don't really uphold our vows like we should.
Yeah.
And the same thing, I believe, is with Christ. Ephesians 5, he's the head of the church, and he loves and he cherishes it, even though we're not perfect people, even though we make mistakes. He takes us right where we're at. So I just think that's a beautiful story.
And you see in the following verses we go through that Ruth really isn't referred to as Ruth the Moabite anymore by the people. They have to accept her as the God already has, and as Boaz already has, and Naomi. But now they are rejoicing over what just took place.
Mm-hmm.
And they acknowledge it's more than a business transaction. They say in verse 11, "All the people who were at the gate and the elders said, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman.'" And so what should our prayer be if we're going to rejoice when this kind of redemption happens, whether it's, of course, Jesus saving a soul and souls being forgiven in the church, obeying the gospel, or if it's just people ministering to each other and sacrificing maybe their time and their energy to give to somebody else and redeem somebody. And hopefully we can pray that when we go out and we serve people and we help people, that they will say about us what these people just said. Maybe you're just like Jesus. This is the kind of Christian that the Bible talks about, what I see in you.
Yeah, and I think growing up a preacher's kid, and I'm so thankful that my family was in the ministry. I'm thankful that my children and my son-in-law is in ministry today, but I tell people it took me a while to realize what the draw was to Christ, because I grew up in the church. I grew up going to church. I grew up, as I would say, at the foot of the cross. It seems like I've always been there. And I couldn't understand what would make you come from that world into this one. Many times I felt like I was the one in bondage because I couldn't do certain things like my friends could do. And I couldn't go places and say things and do things that they could. And I almost resented that.
Mm-hmm.
And today I see people who, they didn't grow up in a godly family. They didn't grow up going to church. They didn't grow up with a Bible in their hand. They didn't grow up with that. And so to see them come to Christ, and to be able to see them go to the Bible and say, "You're just like this person. You're just like this person." Yeah, Rahab was a prostitute. Rahab was a harlot. And look what she became. Ruth was a Moabite. But look what she came to be when God took over her life. And look what difference she made, not only in her life, but she made Boaz's life better. But she also made Naomi's better, who considered herself Mara. I mean, she's rejected by God.
Yeah.
And she was a godly woman and still felt rejected by God. And sometimes I don't think people, when they come into our midst that way, don't realize the example that they are to us who have been here, that sometimes we take for granted what Jesus has done for us. And so for us to be able to see that firsthand, it's just a beautiful thing that keeps us with that idea that Christ is our Redeemer, that that we are all sinners and we all can change, and we need to not be as judgmental as sometimes we are.
And when you keep going, as you get into verse 13, of course, we're getting down to the last few verses, but it's not insignificant, because then you have the moment, you know, the hallmark, back to the hallmark. Right? Ruth and Boaz, they marry here. Verse 13, you pick up, says, "So Boaz takes Ruth and she became his wife." And notice it already changed the language, because all the people finally declare, you don't see Ruth the Moabite for the first time in the whole time of the story. So she is redeemed. It's acknowledged just by the text. "So Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception. She bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name." Now, that's significant. How does he? This is just interesting. You don't usually see it that way.
Yes.
All the women of the neighborhood come together and they name this child, because this is like the talk of the town, but in a good way, right? Just man, maybe something was going on here all along. But they give him a name saying a son has been born to Naomi. They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. And we got in the notes here, and I don't know if I should butcher it or not, but you know the song "Mary, Did You Know That?" Mary, did you know? Oh, you went bass. That was
Mary.
Wow.
Did you know?
Yeah. Do that. Yeah. How'd that go again? That was a little Lionel Richie right there. So Naomi, did you know? I think that's powerful. Did she have any idea that this was where Jesus, this was the start? I mean, this is almost the direct line to get Jesus to us because of this story. God working through these people.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. You can't know. Nobody and that's the beauty knows. Of it. You don't Nobody have knows. To. But you know God's doing something.
To think in Ruth 1, she names herself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She names herself. Don't call me Naomi.
Yeah, Mara.
You call me Mara. And Mara. Now you get to Ruth 4, and the women, mm-hmm. they're naming the baby. And so I think Naomi is seeing God at work in ways yes. that she never expected. Listeners, has God worked in your life at times when you never expected, you never saw it coming? You thought there was no way, there's nothing that God can do to help this situation. And then something, someone changes things. Mm-hmm. And it may be over a period of 4 chapters. It may be over a period of time. You don't know where you are right now, where you're going to be tomorrow, but God does.
Yeah.
So why not just walk with God?
Mm-hmm.
Why not allow him to lead you?
Yeah.
And he's going to get you from Ruth chapter 1 to Ruth chapter 4. And so we don't know those things. I mean, that
yeah.
chapter 1 decisions lead to chapter 2 and 3 results.
I love that.
That lead to chapter 4 victories.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, that's our story.
Yeah.
That's all of us. All of us have been frustrated with God. We don't know why this happened. We don't know why that's going on. Why would that person do that? Why would this situation happen to me? I was a good person. I was going to church. I was doing everything I was supposed to do. And then chapter 2, just keep moving. Just come back mm-hmm. to Bethlehem. Just keep moving back. And we do believe, Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible.
Yeah.
But with God, all things are possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Jesus knew that because he had a relationship with God. Jesus yeah. knew that because he's been baptized in the Jordan River and he came up and the Spirit led him into the wilderness and he went through the wilderness and he was tempted by Satan. He overcame that. He yeah. knew that God his Father had him no matter what, even death on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I think that's a powerful lesson for us to see when we read through the book of Ruth.
And as you read the last like 4 verses that ends, I mean, again, it switches gears. It goes to the genealogy to wrap up the story because it's so significant. And we'll put this genealogy, which is really the genealogy of David, right alongside the Matthew 1 genealogy mm-hmm. that leads to Jesus. And you kind of see the power here of the story that happens. But verse 18 of Ruth 4, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. And Nahshon fathered Salmon. And Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Now think about that as you go to Matthew 1. And this section of the genealogy comes into play in verse 5. And it picks back up at Salmon, the father of Boaz. And it says, Salmon, father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab.
Wow.
The prostitute.
No
way. And then Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Not of Moab, but Ruth. And then Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. Go down to verse 16. And then Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husbands of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus, there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and then 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
Wow.
And so, like we said about the chapters of your life, maybe none of these people, aside from angelic, messages, knew that they would be in the lineage of Jesus.
No.
I mean, they trusted, they had faith to do what they did, but they don't really know, as humans, what God is doing. And you just look at the ratio of the people that should be unusable by God, or Not the majority. I mean, everybody's imperfect in that list. Everybody falls short of God's expectation. So God uses only imperfect people to bring us a Jesus who's perfect. But I mean, you think about the Ruth, the Rahab, you know, King David, all the stuff that they had, like we said earlier, the baggage. And God said, doesn't matter. I'm the Redeemer. I'll take it all, and yeah. I'll make something perfect out of it.
Young people, it does not matter where you came from. It does not matter your parents. It does not matter your background. It does not matter. If you're living through something that is terrible, horrible, and you cannot see God in it, I believe He's still there. Mm-hmm. And He's waiting on you to be faithful. He's waiting on you to cling to the church. He's waiting on you to come and have an understanding of who He is and that He loves you. And it's hard to find that self-worth. It's hard to find that value in yourself. Older people, God has not left you. Regardless of whether your wife has passed, regardless of whether you're having sickness, regardless of whatever situation you're going through right now, and maybe you don't have the family like you used to, and you find yourself at times even alone, sitting mm-hmm. in your house, and you wonder, where is God? And many times they ask, where's the church? And mm-hmm. that should be something that we need to be that Boaz. We need to be that person that's willing to come in and help. But it does not matter, listeners, where you are. Mm-hmm. God is working through to get you to where He wants you to be. And it may be, just like in verse 17, it was 14 generations mm-hmm. from Abraham to David.
Yeah.
14 generations from David. You don't know what your next generation is going to be.
Yeah.
You don't know what your lineage is going to be. We don't know what Lucas is going to turn out to be. I don't know what Sadie and Ellie are going to turn out to be, or Lainey. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their children may turn out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And all we can do is start in this chapter that we're in now
yeah.
and keep moving forward. And when you get to Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And so here we see Jesus born in Bethlehem. And to think you went back to Ruth chapter 1 mm-hmm. and Naomi
yeah.
and Elimelech, they left Bethlehem because there was a famine,
yep.
because there was no food, because they couldn't take care of themselves. And they traveled to Moab, and the difficulties came. How many people have left the church?
Mm.
They were right where they needed to be.
Yeah.
They had everything set up for them to some degree,
mm-hmm.
but they left the church.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been wandering around in Moab. Folks, it's not too late.
Yep.
Those people at work, those people at the ball games, your spouse, your children, it's not too late. They may be in Moab. I pray that God's will is done and they're able to see that I need to go back to Bethlehem. That maybe it is time for some of us to return back to the church. Maybe at some time it's time for us to come back. And many people, they'll just wander away from the church.
Yeah.
And I think the church needs to be there to still be reaching out to them. It's like that shepherd that goes after that one lost sheep. They need to be out there trying to search and to bring them back and to let them know that God loves them, that God has a relationship for them. And,
yeah.
that, you know, that was things that we were trying to teach even at that family retreat last weekend at Soto, that dads, you have a responsibility to mm-hmm. to teach your children what's important and what's valuable. And we even told the teens, you may have that responsibility with your own children, just like Ruth.
Yeah.
Ruth took it upon herself to help Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're never too young or too old to do the things that God is calling you to do. And so it's just yeah. a powerful book that
yes.
I think it's an easy read, and you're able to just glean. That's pretty good. Glean.
Like, yeah. yeah. That's been working in yeah, a lot. I mean, that's the new plethora.
Yeah, a plethora.
We glean these days.
Yeah, we have gleaned a plethora of of understanding through
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's how you know it's season two. We go from plethora to glean. Now season two.
I'm gleaning so much
yeah.
From this. But
oh, me.
It is so true. We
yeah.
find ourselves in Ruth all the time.
Yeah,
and I don't know what chapter you're in.
Yeah.
I would pray that everybody's in chapter 4. I would pray that you've reached that point that you go, I see the working of God. I see the hand of God. But you might be in Ruth 1.
Yeah, wannabes. I mean, you got to be a wannabe in every chapter of life. You never get it all figured out. But we want to be more like Christ in every day. That's all we have control over is the choices we make today. And God doesn't call you to be responsible of your past, and he doesn't call you to know what's in your future, but want to be like Jesus today. Just trust in him, and where he goes, you go. Where he stays, you stay. And that's the beauty of what Ruth can offer us. So I pray it's been a blessing to you, and thanks for joining us through this book. We'll be going into some more studies and having some guests back on the podcast. And
yeah, but if there is a book that someone might want, comment on
there. Yeah, we welcome the feedback.
Give us some direction on what you might want to study, and give us some feedback on that, because we want to meet you where you're at and try to help you along the way.
Y'all have a blessed day. Thank y'all so much for being here.